ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agent, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the BFD Fantasy Football Show. I'm your host, Joe Jefferson, lead editor of BFDFantasyFootball.com. Thank you so much for everybody listening live, and for those downloading later, we do genuinely appreciate your support. Thank you for making us a part of your Tuesday night. Tonight is November 10th, Tuesday at 10 p.m., and it is BFD time, my friends. As always, joined by our co-host and BFD writer, Dave Terpoli, again, affectionately known as Dave Terp in these parts. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Doing well. Doing very well.
Doing great. You know, Dave, of course, in addition to being a writer, is really kind of our daily game specialist. Had another great week last week, providing some great advice for you and your DraftKings lineups. Again, for those who haven't, please check out our site, bfdfantasyfootball.com. Join us for the remainder of the year. You know, we have discounted the remainder of the season. We are providing great content still, weekly rankings, free agent rankings, my blog, as well as Dave's daily page, like I said, where he helps you pick some winners at DraftKings.com. On our homepage, if you click on our link there and open a new account with our partners at DraftKings, you will save 50% off your BFD subscription. So, you know, join us and join them and win some money playing some fantasy football. You know, of course, last week, week 10 of the NFL season, time flies when you're having fun. You know, our show tonight, we got a great one lined up for you. We'll talk about what we saw in week 9, talk about some injury news and the implications of that. Look at some fantasy free agents that can help your teams moving forward. Of course, look forward to week 10 here, all in our next hour together. Dave, how did week 9 treat you?
Week 9 was very good, especially in DraftKings. Very successful week. Pretty much everybody used the head-to-head lineup that we had in there. Cashed. I got a lot of emails, a lot of texts from people who are subscribers. Definitely had a profitable weekend. So definitely pretty well. Eagles got a big win Sunday night, so that's always a positive.
Hey, that's a double whammy for you. There you go. And, of course, one of the big stars, I think, for you this week was Antonio Brown, having just an unbelievably monstrous game with no touchdowns. Could you imagine if he'd got a few touchdowns in there? My good Lord.
I mean, I own the guy everywhere, but, I mean, he was heavily owned pretty much in every contest. But, I mean, what a monster game.
What were his play percentages in some of those things you saw?
In the $300 entry one, he was 52% owned, which I didn't think he'd be that heavy.
Yeah,
he was 36 in a couple. The millionaire, I think he was around 38. I mean, he was pretty much owned everywhere. A lot higher than I actually thought he was.
Mm-hmm. Still, you know, really difficult to compete in those type of contests without him in your lineup. So, you know, really great call there, integral to have him, to have a chance to win. And like I said, in head-to-head, you know, almost wins you money if the other guy doesn't have him. Taking a look at some injuries, well, you know, I'll kind of just go through the injury report here. We can chat about some of the implications that we're seeing heading in. Well, I guess we'll take it by position here, just taking a look at the quarterback position. Josh McCown, you know, hoping to have him back this week. still not practicing on Tuesday. You know, something to stay tuned on. I mean, night and day difference right now between Josh McCown and Manziel. You know, when McCown's in there, they're able to get the ball down the field and produce some fantasy numbers. But when Manziel's in there, you see the field is a lot flatter, so to speak, and that the ball is not getting pushed down the field as much, and much less sexy team from a fantasy perspective. Don't you agree without McCown?
Yeah, I mean, McCown is definitely a better option fantasy-wise. I mean, clearly everybody suffered last week. I mean, they play a very good Cincinnati defense. So,
sure.
I mean, I didn't really expect much from them. And obviously the dreaded Thursday night game, which we always try to avoid. But they need McCown in there. We need McCown in there. And I never thought I'd ever say that because, I mean, Gary Barnidge, Travis Benjamin, and company, the running backs are pretty much a disaster right now. I mean, Duke Johnson is probably still the only guy I would use. But McCown, from a fantasy perspective, you just need him in there.
Yeah, and I guess that's all I'm pointing out. It does seem so strange. I mean, we're used to premier quarterbacks dictating how well their fantasy or their teams produce from a fantasy perspective. But, you know, add Josh McCown to that list. They need him there in order to be productive. So I do, you know, expect to see him back this week, but it is definitely something to monitor. Andrew Luck in their win over my Broncos, lacerated kidney. Looks to be sidelined 2 to 6 weeks. Matt Hasselbeck filling in. We've seen him in a fill-in role already this season. What do you think the implications are in Indianapolis?
I mean, I don't see how Andrew Luck's going to be back this season. I think he's almost droppable in fantasy football circles. I mean, you might want to hold on to him for a week or two, but, I mean, didn't Keenan Allen have the same injury? And, I mean, he's done for the season. So from a fantasy perspective, I think it really, really hurts. You know, the ceiling of these guys, the T.Y. Hiltons, the Moncrief of the world. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck's not going to go out there and throw for, you know, 350, three touchdowns. That's just not his game. I mean, he's more of a dink and dunk guy. Good veteran backup. I mean, probably one of the best veteran backups in the league. He definitely can win games for the Colts. But I think you're going to see a lot more of running the football, a lot more tight end action. Probably a lot more Andre Johnson, more than you're going to see the deep threat to T.Y. Hilton. So from a fantasy perspective, I think this helps the tight ends a little bit, the Fleeners and the Dwayne Allens of the world, especially with Chugnisky, the new offensive coordinator. He likes to get the tight end involved. But I don't really think it does, you know, wonders for guys like Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton. And it's a killer injury in a division that is pretty much theirs if they want it, because the rest of the teams just, I mean, they stink.
It is a killer injury, and, you know, like you said, it does seem to, you know, not quite add up. Lacerated kidney, generally think of as something that, like you said, sidelines you for the rest of the year. It'll be interesting to see how this sort of timeline holds up, but I think you got to hold on to him in the hope that, you know, it's not as severe, perhaps, or that, you know, the physical limitations aren't as big a deal for him. But, you know, again, the initial, you know, reports I heard is that he will be back. You know, I think I agree with your analysis there. It's a downgrade for the wideouts, but I think it is an upgrade for the tight end, particularly Fleener, in my opinion. You saw some of the connection. Fleener had a big game, I think, with Hasselbeck in there. So, you know, I think Fleener is probably the biggest beneficiary here. And, again, I think there is a downgrade generally across the board for the Colts. So, you know, just unbelievable. You know, another big name guy, Andrew Luck, going down, and you know, at this point, you know, he's starting to kind of come back on, but you know, all hopes of salvaging his season are pretty much drained at this point. What a crazy season it's been. Moving on, Big Ben, not quite ruled out for Week 10. He's dealing with a foot injury. You know, the probability I've heard is that he's going to be out, you know, this week, and then of course with Week 11 bye for them, he should be fine to come back for Week 12. Any thoughts on the Big Ben injury?
Yeah, he's definitely going to miss this week. I mean, when he went down last week, every fantasy owner, especially Antonio Brown owner, just feared the worst. It did not look good. I mean, mm-hmm. Antonio Brown will not be anywhere near the same player with Landry Jones or Michael Vick or whoever's in there. This week they could probably get away with it. I don't expect them to see him out there, but from a fantasy perspective, all of us need Big Ben out there. I mean, he's just the heart and soul of that team. They can. I mean, as hard as Le'Veon Bell was to lose, I mean, you saw D'Angelo Williams last week, and as successful as he was, so they really didn't miss much of a beat there. So I really wouldn't give up on Roethlisberger. I think it's going to be a 2-week injury, obviously this week in the bye, but he'll be back, and he'll definitely be a fantasy force. And with Martavis Bryant and Brown, Heath Miller, I mean, their values are just skyrocketing. Their ceilings are so high when Roethlisberger's out there. Without him, I would avoid him, especially in the daily circle this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you saw the value of a D'Angelo and Antonio Brown when he came back. I mean, these guys are, you know, at the top of their positions from a fantasy perspective when he's in there. And like you said, these, you know, the secondary, you know, playmakers in their offense, Bryant, Heath Miller, also have a ton of value when he's in there and not a whole lot when he isn't. Although I will say Bryant has shown some connection with Landry Jones, and it has made some big plays with him in there. So perhaps maybe an upgrade for Bryant, you think, if or is Big Ben just a downgrade for everybody?
I think it's a downgrade for everybody. I mean, if anybody, I would say probably. I mean, it's just such a wild card. I mean, Martavis Bryant, he had, you know, long touchdowns, but outside of that, he really didn't do much in the games that.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, no, you're right. He relies so heavily on
more of a cheap PD.
Mm-hmm. And he relies so heavily on those big plays. But, you know, again, there may be something there. You know, if you're going to take a shot, you know, he may be worth a shot, even with Jones in there, I guess is all I'm saying, in that he could produce another couple big plays. And, you know, with them, you know, the backup quarterback and sometimes the, you know, backup or, you know, second receiver sometimes have a better connection sometimes in the first. So, you know, it seems that they do have a pretty good connection. So just be aware of that. Moving on to the running backs. Let's see, LeSean McCoy, you know, messed up his shoulder, but is expected to be 100% for Thursday. You know, he was limited today. What do you think about LeSean McCoy?
I mean, he looked really solid to start off the game, but again, Carlos Williams is a very, very impressive rookie right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he had 2 touchdowns again, coming back.
On only like 9 carries or something.
I mean, he's just running really strong right now, and it's more looking like a committee than it is, you know, the LeSean McCoy show. I know they gave him a lot of money in the offseason, but, I mean, Carlos Williams just continues to find the end zone. So, I mean, McCoy's definitely a guy you're going to start everywhere, but I'm not gambling him, you know, in the bigger stages because I just think Carlos Williams is going to get too much work around the goal line and just in general. It's hard to keep the guy off the field. He's just scoring touchdowns. I mean,
yeah, and breaking up yards. I mean, what did he have? I think he had 9 carries, 100 yards, and 2 touches.
Crazy. I mean, on a Thursday night game this week against the Jets, I mean, very good defense, but, I mean, they're still going to run the football enough. I mean, I would definitely fade all of them, but, I mean, Carlos Williams, I think, is just the better option right now, in my opinion. I mean, mm-hmm. I know it's crazy to say, but LeSean McCoy is definitely going to still get his, but, I mean, Williams is a guy that should be on all fantasy rosters if he's not. I mean, get him now.
Oh, heck yeah, if he's still out there. But like you said, I don't think that any of them, you know, I suppose from a fantasy perspective, you're probably not sitting McCoy. You're probably not starting Williams on Thursday.
Nah,
you're probably fading
not.
Everybody on Thursday. So it's kind of more 100%. Wait and see. Probably more wait and see for moving forward. But, you know, McCoy continues to be dinged a little bit, and Carlos could really open the door for Carlos Williams down the stretch to make a difference maker in your fantasy league. Moving right along, Eddie Lacy, looking like he's dealing with that groin injury, left the game in the third quarter, should be fine for week 10, you know, this kind of just, can, you know, of course Starks comes in and looks good, continues to, you know, look better than Lacy in my opinion. What do you think about Lacy in week 10 and down the stretch?
You couldn't have said it any better. James Starks right now is just a better running back. I mean, Eddie Lacy's been banged up, and even when he's been out there, I mean, he's just not a good player right now. I mean, it's extremely surprising because all you heard about in the offseason was Eddie Lacy this and how they're going to run the ball more and, you know, be more active in the, you know, with Eddie Lacy, and it's just not the case right now. I mean, he was banged up, but, I mean, Starks right now.
Yeah, is he out of shape? Is he injured? What do you think? What do you think
I mean,
going
I just,
on there?
Frankly, I was never really a big Eddie Lacy guy as, you know, I just think, you know, bigger runners, I mean, their success rate just, I just don't like them. I mean, LeGarrette Blount, I mean, can you name a lot of guys who are, Eddie Lacy's not a fast guy. It's not like he's going out and burn, you know, he's a burner. I just think, I mean, Starks is just a perfect player for that offense right now. I mean, obviously, you know, Aaron Rodgers got hot late in that game, but I mean, and all James Starks right now, absolutely this week, if you got James Starks on your team, start him with confidence against Detroit. That game could be ugly quickly, and Starks could get a lot of work even when it's not ugly.
You think if Lacy plays, you starting them both potentially?
I can't see. I mean, if you got them both and you got a lot of bye week issues, I would start him with confidence because I think Green Bay could put up monster numbers this week against a team that's pretty much quit. I mean, I know Detroit's coming off a bye week, but that game could get ugly quick. Aaron Rodgers is probably the number one quarterback this week in all aspects of fantasy, especially daily, but it could get ugly where he can't put up like the monster numbers that you want.
But it does just seem to continue to drag on. You know, is Lacy hurt? Is, you know, but he continues to lead the show, and you know, I wish they would just kind of move towards
Starks. It's like scared to get
Starks
to lead role. I mean, he's been successful the last couple of weeks. I mean,
yeah,
he's been the better back all season.
Agreed. And so why not just give the Starks a job at this point and let Lacy be the backup and still run a committee there? You know, I don't know. That's my thought. And I don't know. With Lacy's name and the name recognition and him being a star, I don't know that they're anxious to go that direction, but, you know, from watching the games, that's the way it should be, in my opinion. So it'd be interesting to see if they move that direction moving forward or down the stretch, because something's got to give. I don't think they can just continue to get this lack of production from those touches. Let's see, Deion Lewis, of course, injures his ACL out for the year. What do you think about the Patriots' backfield?
That's a really, really big injury. I mean, I still think the Patriots are the clear-cut best team in the NFL by far. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to touch them. But, I mean, that injury is definitely going to, you know, not make the field so, you know, wide open for certain guys. I mean, Deion Lewis was a matchup nightmare this year. You know,
he's playing his butt off.
AFC. I mean, he was definitely a fine. He probably wouldn't have been in the best, like, you know, free agent pickups and, you know, deep draft guys this season. I guess going forward, you're going to be looking at the James Whites and the Brandon Boldens of the world. I wouldn't be surprised if they add somebody off waivers. I don't really know who's available that could really do them, but it's Bill Belichick, so you just never know. I mean, I'd probably lean a little bit toward Bolden just because he's a little bit of a veteran. But whoever that guy is who takes that job is going to have great value. So, I mean, we'll talk about free agents later, but two guys that should be picked up if they're not available, if they're not already picked up.
Are you saying you don't expect Will Blount to lead the way?
I mean, I still expect Blount to lead the way, but we all know Blount's ceiling is just not as high as, you know, the pass catchers in the New England offense. Like, he's going to get enough carries, but in games like last week where you know he's going to get plenty of work against a bad Redskins team, I mean, this week I think it blow the Giants out. I mean, that Tom Brady could put up, you know, 500 yards. But I think Blount's definitely a lead back. It's not even a question. But to take Deion Lewis' role, I think you're more of a Bolden over James White just because of the veteran presence.
Yeah, I think I'm on board with that. You know, White has got some reps, you know, this season. Probably a few more reps than Bolden, don't you think? I don't know. I'm not looking at the stats or anything. Just kind of off
my
feel.
Right. I mean, White's got a little bit more of a touches, but I mean, you just don't know with Belichick. And when somebody goes down, I mean, it could be anybody. Just remember Jonas Gray last year.
Yep.
He came from nowhere.
And they've turned to Bolden in the past, so it wouldn't totally shock me.
He's definitely somebody to pick up. Yeah. Really hasn't done anything in his short time. New England has been, you know, reputable, but he is a veteran.
D'Angelo Williams nicked up his foot. Like, in good progress. Should be available for Sunday, don't you think?
He'll be out there, and he's probably the number one or number two running back this week against, you know, the Browns, who can't stop anybody on the run.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, God, it's just so good to feel, so easy to feel so good about D'Angelo the rest of the year.
He literally could be the, I mean, going on, you know, going into the rest of the season, he's easily a top three running back right now.
Yeah, he's a first round pick if you're doing your draft today. D'Angelo Williams is a no doubt first round pick. Huh?
he might be a top five pick.
Yeah. Real difference maker. Looks to be a real easy difference, real easy to project difference maker down the stretch here. Moving to some other injury news. Sammy Watkins came back and played a whale of a game. You know, his ankle still bothering him, limited Tuesday, appears on track for Thursday. Of course, he's got the short week and the turnaround there, but do expect to see him out there. Were you pretty impressed with Watkins as well?
Sammy Watkins is a beast. I've said it since they drafted him. They drafted him for a reason. They traded up to get him for a reason. I mean, he made some comments in the bye week, get me the ball, and they got him the ball. And you saw what happened. I mean, the guy is just, if he can stay healthy, he's a freak. I mean, he's a top 10 talent at the receiver position. I mean, I think Tyrod Taylor is definitely talented enough to get him the ball and get him the ball enough. I mean, you get this guy 10, 12 targets a game, he's going to put up numbers. I'm a big Sammy Watkins supporter going forward. I'm actually a little upset at myself because I liked him last week a lot on DraftKings, but just get a little scared because, I mean, he's been injured all season, so one little, you know, hiccup.
Well, he's been injured, and when he wasn't injured, he wasn't putting up more numbers, you know, so I could understand, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. Looking and see, oh, yeah, Sammy Watkins went off. That looks, you know, we should have known that. But, you know, even when, you know, in there and healthy, he wasn't exactly getting it done. And it did seem that they really made a effort to give him the ball or you know, include him much more in the game plan. I think probably to alleviate some of his frustrations probably from earlier in the year of, you know, when he was healthy, not getting the ball. So it is encouraging to see that. You know, I do, you know, always worry about Buffalo and their ability to get the ball on a consistent basis to a guy like Sammy Watkins. And so, you know, that's probably why he's not on a lot of my rosters. But I agree with you. Down the stretch, if they take this same mentality, he could really be a difference maker down the stretch.
Totally
of course, this week, of course, a little bit tougher matchup with him being a little ding. Yeah, is he still a play guy for you on a Thursday, or do you think he's a fade guy?
I always fade the Thursday game. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work, but most of the time it does.
Yeah, I was going to say most
Revis
of the time.
Cromartie. I mean, I expect him to see a lot of Revis this week. If you could tell me he was on Cromartie 75% of the time, I would say use him, but not on Revis, and I really expect Revis to be the guy that, you know, shatters him.
Still super encouraging for Sammy Watkins owners just to see that, you know, he does have that upside and could have even had a bigger day. You know, the coaching staff is, you know, considering him kind of their go-to, and so we'll see how that sort of plays out on Thursday. But, you know, like I said, I don't really like the Thursday game for him, but the rest of the season could be pretty bright for Sammy Watkins. Vincent Jackson missed out his second game, unlikely to play in his third week. We still don't really have a very good timetable on Vincent Jackson, do we? He could still be out extended. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me either. Right now it's Mike Evans and Mike Evans and Mike Evans and Mike Evans. I mean, there's really no other option right now in Tampa Bay.
ASJ is on the horizon. What do you think?
I mean, he's been on the horizon for the last, you know, 3-4 weeks and continues to miss games. I mean, Dontre Dye has been, I thought he would at least get some targets. He's not getting anything. I mean, it's Mike Evans. I don't understand how teams just don't double Mike Evans every play and make somebody else beat you. I mean, with Dallas this week, I mean, in a game where Dallas just can't afford to lose, you would think they would have some game plan to stop Mike Evans because Doug Martin and Charles Sims ain't doing anything. I mean, that matchup last week Doug Martin had against the Giants, who should have been pretty solid. He plunked everywhere. So, I mean, you would think Mike Evans is going to see 15, 20 targets this week against Dallas because they have nobody else unless, you know, Safarian Jenkins is back.
Yeah, but it does seem that he needs some support. You know, when he's out there all alone, he's just not producing. And, you know, I feel like he does need an ASJ or a Vincent Jackson back in order to be as productive as he can be. And, you know, like you said, you know, Austin Seferin-Jenkins has been practicing for, what, 2 weeks now? And I'm hearing from some sources that he still might not be ready to play. So, you know, you're right. He's been on the horizon for a while and may still be there for some time. And VJack's not even close to the practice field, so I would suspect that he's at least another
2 weeks away. But again, I don't think I have very good information on that. I'm totally speculating. But I think that's the best we can do at this point. Let's see, John Brown, dealing with that hamstring, practice today. Should be good to go. You trust him this weekend?
I mean, it's hard not to trust him. He is a deep threat on that team. I mean, Michael Floyd seemed to have passed him a little bit on the depth chart. But, I mean, they're going to Seattle. And, again, it's, you know, early indications could be rainy in Seattle. I mean, the huge division game, got by far the game of the week in the NFL. I mean, two teams that are great defensively. Arizona's better offensively. I mean, I think the game Arizona could win. But Seattle's just a real, real tough to play. I mean, Sunday night football, that place is going to be rocking. It's not a game I'd be looking at from a daily's perspective at all. But John Brown would be the player I would gamble on more than anyone just because of the big playability. I mean, I expect that game to be a, you know, 20 to 17, you know, just physical football game. A lot of, you know, short runs and, you know, short passing. I don't expect many touchdowns being scored in that game.
Yeah, John Brown's the kind of guy who can get a lot of targets in a hurry. You know, it's one of those things where you can stack up 10 targets pretty quick. But, of course, he has been dealing with that injury, so there is that kind of high risk, high reward with him, particularly with the matchup. Moving right along, Allen Hurns suffered a sprained foot on the final play of the Jets game. Didn't quite get out of there, unfortunately, unscathed. He'll be evaluated during the week. Here's a guy, Allen Hurns, you know, he's been pretty darn productive, you know, hadn't been setting the world on fire every week, but I got to think that he's probably got the longest scoring streak from any skill position player, right? I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 scores in a row. Surprising.
He's, I mean, surprisingly it's outstanding consistent. Right now. I mean, he's Allen Robinson might be one of the best, you know, combo receivers right now in football. I mean, Allen Robinson is just as good. I mean, Allen Hurns just continues to score touchdowns, I mean, targets. I mean, we all know Jacksonville is going to be behind in most games, so they're going to be throwing the ball around. Bortles has been, you know, good from a fantasy perspective. I mean, Allen Hurns has been one of the finds of the year, you know, so far. I mean, many expected the Marquise Lee's out. I mean, Julius Thomas really hasn't done much in Jacksonville. I mean, Allen Hurns has definitely been a find, and definitely a guy against the Baltimore, you know, Swiss cheese secondary could be in line for a monster week. Blake Bortles is definitely a guy that, you know, I'll be looking at this week in a daily world.
No doubt. And, you know, Allen Hurns just really impressed me when I saw that string of touchdowns. I guess I didn't, you know, wasn't conscious in the forefront of my mind that he had been that consistent scoring the football and scoring a touchdown in 6 straight games. Again, I got to think that that's the longest in the NFL. You know, a couple of those games in that 6-game stretch, he wasn't getting a ton of receptions. You know, Houston, week 6, you know, 2 receptions, 30 yards and a touch. The week before at Tampa, the week after in Buffalo, 2 for 53 and a touch. So some of them aren't setting the world on fire, but, of course, the previous 2 weeks, you know, 30 points, you know. So, you know, been a major find and just super consistent from a head-to-head standpoint. Really love that story there. But, like you said, Blake Bortles doing really good things. I really like what I'm seeing out of this passing game, and I think it's a great fantasy team to be betting on down the stretch here. And like you said, particularly this week with the juicy matchup against Baltimore. Cecil Shorts looks like he's going to return. You think he'll slip in ahead of Nate Washington moving forward?
I don't know. I mean, Nate Washington's been, you know, very, very good the last couple of weeks. I mean, you never know. I mean, they got a tough matchup this week. I think they play Cincinnati Monday night in a game that, I mean, Cincinnati's defense is playing very, very good football right now. But Houston's a very bad football team, so we all know that Brian Hoyer will be throwing the ball all around the field. Hopkins and Nate Washington are definitely guys you're going to be using. I'm not a buyer with Cecil Shorts.
I think Shorts, you know, probably get more reps than Washington. I think they'll probably split most of the looks there. You know, I think Nate Washington, at least initially, is probably the more trusted guy. But I think part of the reason why we're seeing that production out of Nate Washington is because he didn't have to split a lot of those reps with the Cecil Shorts, who, you know, a lot younger, a lot more spry off the line of scrimmage. If he could catch the darn ball, he'd be the man. But, you know, the ball hits him in the face a lot, and he just can't come up with it. But he gets open, you know.
That is true. You couldn't have said that one any better.
let's see. Kendall Wright looks like he's progressing. You know, doesn't look like he's going to practice. Probably a long shot at best to play on Sunday. Probably a better shot to play the following week. What do you think about Kendall Wright or the Titans receiving core generally?
I think the receiving core is definitely on the up. I mean, Doriel Green.
Mariota with what, four touchdowns this weekend?
I mean, Mariota, two of them touchdowns were a little fluky to Walker, but I mean,
sure.
You take what you can get. I mean, he almost threw 400 yards. I mean, Justin Hunter scored a touchdown. I mean, Green Beckham's getting more touches. Harry Douglas is playing solid in the slot. I mean, if they add Kendall Wright, they could easily win that division, you know, at a 7-9, maybe 6-10, as crazy as that now. I mean, Mariota looked very, very poised last week. I know they beat the Saints, and the Saints are right there with the Giants and one of the worst secondaries in probably NFL history. I mean, if you think about the Saints secondary, Brandon Browner, you know, Super Bowl winner on a good style team, Jarius Byrd, who probably was one of the worst free, you know, acquisitions in defensive history, all the money they spent on him. I mean, Kenny Vaccaro was a pretty solid first-round pick, and they all stink right now. I mean, Mariota just pretty much gutted them all around the field and had an impressive, you know, road win. He's definitely a guy you got to look at the rest of the season, especially in better matchups.
Yeah, when he gets all his weapons back and down the stretch, I agree. I think he's definitely a guy to look at.
Definitely not a guy I would use this week, though. I mean, Carolina, we all know, is a very, very good defensive team. I know it's at Tennessee, but don't get too crazy there.
Yeah, dang. I think I do have one league where Matt Ryan is my quarterback buying this week, and I backed him up with Mariota. I'm like, ugh, do I need to pick up another quarterback to get past this bye?
Kirk Cousins.
All right. I'm sure he's available.
Yeah, you know who he plays this week. The New Orleans Saints. That's all you have to
there
say.
There you go. There you go. Should have an opportunity to get some points on the board. Looking down here, let's see. Probably not a ton of other guys really even worth mentioning. Malcolm Floyd. Yeah, I was going to say torn labrum, it looks like. I would expect, you know, they're saying they don't know if it ends the season. I would suspect this ends the season. And he has called this his last. So we may have seen the last of Malcolm Floyd, or M80 as he's affectionately known.
We didn't miss much. I mean, he really hasn't had an impressive career.
He's had a lot of opportunities, just never really delivered. A lot of times you get excited about his potential. It just never really happened. So even in this, latest opportunity, I didn't really pick him up. Just, I was more on like a guy like Inman who I think could emerge rather than a guy who I thought was next man up, Malcolm Floyd, just because of his, history with not delivering in that range. But, hey, don't let me tell you, that's unofficial. He could be back. You know, the report I heard earlier in the day was day-to-day before the torn labrum, could be out for the year. So something to still monitor, but I suspect he could be done.
I'm telling you to cut him. Get rid of him. He's done.
Yeah,
go get Inman.
Brian Hartline. Yeah, go get Inman. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go get Inman what?
Get Inman. He's going to be the guy that's going to start getting the targets. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be quality targets, but he's definitely the guy that, looks and should be available in most.
Like you said, just from the way he moves, the way he looks, his body size, he looks like the next man up and next best fit for Phillip Rivers to continue to move the ball or throw the ball a lot. You know, they are trying to, get more of their running game going with their rookie, Gordon. I am seeing them making a much more of a concerted effort to get him the ball. And they're not quite as pass happy as they once were earlier in the year. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
I mean, they don't really have much of a choice. I mean, Antonio Gates is in a speed burner, so I mean, he's still going to get plenty of targets with the head, but I mean, they're going to need a vertical threat down the field. I mean, with Stevie Johnson, he's another guy like Malcolm Floyd that has had plenty of opportunities, but he's probably going to be the number one right now. Definitely a guy that if you have, you got to start. I start Inman and Stevie Johnson with confidence, in every format going forward, unless they add somebody that, off the waiver wire is going to set the world on fire. But I don't think this is going to be the Gates, Stevie Johnson, Inman, Woodhead show for the rest of the season. And if anything, this makes Phillip Rivers not a slam dunk start he's been.
Yeah, great analysis. I agree with all that stuff. That's good stuff. Brian Hartline, barely worth mentioning, you know, still in the concussion protocol. Let's move on to some waiver wire options on some guys who might be able to help your team. Let's just take a quick show break, and we'll get right to that.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.
Okay, guys, and we're back. And, again, do check out the site. We've got tons of great content going on there and great partnership with DraftKings.com. So get on our homepage, start a new account with them, and save 50% off your BFD subscription for the rest of the year. Got a lot of great content there. Please check it out. Looking at the waiver wire and how to improve your teams here for Week 10, again, I'll probably just start us off with this by position and, you know, laundry list some guys who shouldn't be available, shouldn't spend too much time on these guys. We talked about these guys several times now. Derek Carr, Blake Bortles, Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, even Tony Romo at this point, don't you think, hoping to be back in Week 11. At best case scenario.
Yeah, probably shouldn't be available. Pick him up if he's available, without a doubt.
Sam Bradford, even, you know, with his up and down nonsense, probably shouldn't generally be out there. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick, still a high quality backup in my mind. Same thing with, probably the next tier down, or probably will be available in some spots now, guys like Jay Cutler and Brian Hoyer. Do you have any preference there?
I mentioned him already. Kirk Cousins is the guy that need a spot start this week with a Matt Ryan being off, something like that.
There you
I
go.
I mean, you've seen what the New Orleans defense has given up the last couple weeks. It's hard not to win him this week. I mean, I know they don't play a fast-paced offense, but he would be the guy that I would look at this week.
Would you consider Landry Jones?
Absolutely not.
Just checking. Only if you're extremely desperate. I can't imagine anybody would ever be, because there's just so many quarterback options that you can pick up and play on a week and while you're looking for somebody. Like you said, Kirk Cousins is a great example.
Who else? Available. Joe Flacco is another guy who most people think, you know, he has no weapons, he can't, but they're still going to throw the ball a ton. I mean, definitely a guy that I would not feel, you know, really, really happy about starting, but if you're really desperate, you know, Flacco and your waiver wire looks really, really bad, you know, Cousins will be my top choice. Flacco would be, you know, a close second.
There you go. And both those guys should be available everywhere at this point, I would think, or at least most places
so.
With Flacco. So I think that covers quarterbacks pretty good. Why don't we move on to some running backs? Talk about some obvious choices shouldn't be available everywhere. Of course, flavor of the week last week was Jeremy Langford. Pretty delivered, don't you think? Had a pretty good, pretty decent showing, don't you think?
I feel great. I mean, I think, you know, I had a couple of hiccups early in the game when I saw he started, you know, second-year guy, Kadeem Carey, his name is. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I used Jeremy Langford in a lot of daily teams, and I was, you know, hair early, but he looked very good, in my opinion. I mean, he looked quick. I mean, passes to the backfield. He made a nice catch down the field. You know, from Cutler, you know, for a big first down early in the game, kind of conversion. He looked good, scored a touchdown. I mean, you can't really ask for much more if you have Matt Forte. Hopefully you had Jeremy Langford. If not, you come on waivers, but he won't be available in any league. And if you spend your whole back roll to get him.
Yeah, it was kind of surprising Fox gave that official start to Kadeem Carey. But
that's
clearly
Fox. You dealt with him in Denver for the last couple of years.
I don't know what that was. I guess that was just a shout out to a guy who had been in the system a year longer and, you know, wanted to give him at least a look. But, you know, more lip service than anything. I mean, Langford clearly, you know, is the guy, you know, as far as a talent standpoint. I mean, on film, he looks like the guy. So, you know, I'd had no problem, you know, starting him as long as Forte's out. And, you know, while we expect Forte to come back, you know, it's possible that, you know, Forte might be on his way out. And it's possible that Langford gets a little more life out of this run than people expect. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm surprised that Forte, you know, his name came up a little bit in rumors at the trade deadline. But I mean, I was shocked that, you know, he didn't come up a little bit more. I know running backs are kind of not in demand, but I mean, Forte is one of the best running backs in football right now. So, I mean, a team like, you know, Dallas or, you know, even New England, somebody like that could have probably added him for cheap. And for look very, very impressive. I mean, when Forte comes back, I still think Forte is going to get 80%, 75% of the work, but he's definitely a guy that if he keeps impressing in the next couple of weeks, you know, don't sleep on him.
Carlos Williams, we chatted a little bit about last week, and yeah, I'm right. 9 carries, 110 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns against the Dolphins in week 9. The guy obviously has some upside, and you combine that with the string of things that he did early in the season, and you know that he's got plenty of potential. You know, with a LaShawn McCoy injury, you know, the sky's the ceiling there. He could be a solid, you know, solid starter for you. So, you know, Carlos Williams shouldn't be available anywhere. James Starks, we talked about him a little bit earlier. Again, a guy who shouldn't be available anywhere. Looks better than Lacy throughout, you know, pretty much every game. So, you know, got to think it's just a matter of time before they make that transition. I know they've been super hesitant. You know, they really have hitched their wagons to Eddie Lacy, but at some point you got to think that that's got to give. In any way, like you said, in particular matchups, particularly next week with Lacy banged up and a sweet matchup, you know, an opportunity to start a guy like James Starks. Charles Sims shouldn't be available probably anywhere. You know, shown plenty of reps recently. You know, catching the ball as well. Last week, let's see, 9 total touches, over 80 yards. So definitely in the mix. And again, shouldn't be available, I don't think, anywhere, right?
No, I mean, he should be.
Alfred Blue, another guy we've talked about, kind of the flavor of the week. What was it, last week? Of course, heading into the bye this week. But with Foster gone, looks to be the lead guy, not exactly setting the world on fire in his last start, really kind of saved his day with some receiving numbers. So, you know, not exactly something to be too excited about a guy, but again, shouldn't be available anywhere. Guy we haven't chatted a lot about, or maybe we did chat maybe a week or two ago about, is Antonio Andrews down in Tennessee. We talked, I think we hit it right on the head saying that, you know, Malarkey probably going to move more forward with him, and you know, got the overwhelming majority of the touches, got 19 carries, 20 total touches, you know, 88 yards rushing, pretty solid. We'll see if things change when David Cobb gets back into the mix this week. Do you expect that to change, or do you think Andrews is the man moving forward?
Nah, I think Andrews is going to be the man for the rest of the season, personally. I mean, he ran pretty solid, and we talked about it. The Saints defense is awful, but I just think he's going to be the guy. Dexter McCluster is going to be the when, you know, we're behind, you know, guy out of the backfield, you know, third down. But when David Cobb comes back, I mean, they might give him a little bit of, you know, a couple touches to see if he emerges. But I think this is Antonio Andrews' training for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I definitely think both the guys, you know, Andrews and Cobb are both worth an add. You know, I do suspect Andrews got the lead, but you know, he may want to see what he's got in Cobb. You know, keep in mind, you know, they were really enamored with Cobb in the preseason, and you know, because of that injury, you know, really kind of sidelined him. But I expected him to kind of be the starting running back on day one. He was trending that direction. But now, you know, I think I agree with you. You know, Andrew's slightly over Cobb, you know, thinking that he's got the lead on that role with a decent outing last week. But Cobb definitely a guy, I think, to also pick up. Let's see. Ryan Matthews probably shouldn't be available anywhere. You know, it was kind of questionable. Came back, put up another strong showing. So if Murray ever goes down, Matthews again, you know, added to the laundry list of guys who you know would be studs in that situation, don't you think?
He'd probably be a top five back right into D'Angelo Williams' role, you know, in the offense. Hopefully that never happens because Murray's playing very good football right now.
And if you're in a tough spot, you could start a guy like Ryan Matthews. Joey Bell maybe is a guy who might be available, or Theo Riddick might be available. Who do you prefer in Detroit moving forward?
Theo Riddick, definitely. I mean, definitely a guy I would own, especially this week. I mean, Green Bay is going to put up some numbers against them this week. So they're going to be behind, so you would think, you know, Riddick could put up some numbers out of the backfield.
Yep.
He would be my guy.
Agreed, especially from a PPR standpoint. I mean, that's what makes him more of a consistent player, and the matchup is great for him. You know, even if things were to go a little bit south from the mix, you know, mix of touches between him and Bell, you got to think that the game is going to dictate that we'll see more of Riddick. But I think both of these guys are well worth owning, don't you think? And probably shouldn't be available anywhere.
Totally agree.
Chat a little bit about James White. Should be available, you know, him and Brandon Bolden. You said you like Bolden more than White, right?
I like Bolden a little bit more.
I like that. I mean, it's you know, they have turned to Bolden in the past, so that, you know, he's not a guy that's just totally coming from out of nowhere. He does have the trust and respect of the coaching staff, so I do like that. You know, White has gotten more of the touches, but, you know, with this type of a big injury, I wouldn't be surprised to see a major mix-up in the rotation and see Bolden jump over a guy like White. Would not shock me at all. So I like that call, but I'll put him pretty much on par at this point until we kind of know exactly what's going on. You know, I guess I'm a little higher probably on Blunt than you are moving forward. You know, I do suspect that he'll be the guy who'll get a chance to get a little bit more volume and see what he can do with that. And we saw what he did with that last year. He had a lot of success. So probably just second fiddles to Blunt at this point. But in New England, it's always kind of a lottery ticket and high risk reward. So, you know, these guys are worth picking up. Matt Jones.
Don't forget about Oakland. With Latavius Murray in concussion protocol, I mean, there's three guys that could be a starter this week against Minnesota. Roy Hello, Tywan Jones, Marcel Reese.
I mean, who do you like?
It's a gamble. I mean, you're going to have to gamble on one of them. I mean, I think
in my mind, Helu and Tywan Jones are, you know, vying somewhat for the same role. Marcel Reese is the guy, in my opinion, who has the most solidified role. Doesn't mean he's got the highest upside, but just that he'll be involved. You know, I trust that he'll be involved. You know, whereas a guy like Tywan Jones or a guy like Roy Helu, the other guy could, you know, be the flavor of the week, and the other guy could be a huge disappointment. So I think Tywan Jones and Roy Helu are the bigger risk-reward options. I think Marcel Reese is probably a little bit more of a steady Eddie option and could outscore them. You know what I mean? I easily could be Marcel Reese emerging from the three of them. So I'd say, you know, as far as this week, I'd probably go with Reese. Well, I don't know. You think that's crazy?
No, I definitely don't think you're crazy. I think Reese is the safest option. I personally think Roy Helu is the highest ceiling option. I think Tywan Jones is just not – I mean, Helu's proved in the past. Like, I don't understand. They signed him in the offseason. He has not seen the field all season. It's a little mind-boggling to me. I mean, Murray's been solid, and Reese is obviously the guy that they depend on a lot. But it's a little surprising that, you know, Helu hasn't played more. Especially with Murray.
Yeah, I mean, we talked last week about how Tywan Jones was kind of emerging as the backup there over a Helu, was getting some of those backup touches. And again, you know, Latavius Murray, you know, we didn't talk about him in the injury portion. Of course, sustained that, you know, concussion. You know, there's a chance he could be back. I mean, you know, it's not, you know, this is...
Oh, absolutely. It's not guaranteed.
This concussion protocol, so we really don't know what's going on. And so, you know, if he were to miss, you know, they were kind of discussing that scenario, if he were to miss. And somebody could produce, that's for darn sure. And so they're all probably, you know, risk-reward options that are worth taking and certainly worth stashing. In case Murray were to get into another injury situation next week. Matt Jones probably shouldn't be available many places. Didn't do a ton last week, but still looks to be the most talented back there, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would say definitely the most back. I don't even know why they still hand out for Marsh the ball. I mean, he's just a very, very overrated running back. I mean, I don't get that. I mean, it should be the Matt Jones and, you know, Chris Thompson show on third down. I mean, at this point, give him some touches. You're not going many places. I know they still think they got a chance at a division title, but, I mean, give the guy the ball. I mean, Alfred Morris has shown nothing this year. So
David Johnson's still a guy I'm holding out hope may, you know, put something in. Of course, the light's getting a bit dimmer at the end of that tunnel with Chris Johnson really rolling and Andre Johnson surprisingly rolling, in my opinion, and Andre Johnson kind of, or Andre Ellington still in the mix. Any hope for a guy like David Johnson to make a splash down the stretch, do you think? The guy's talented, makes big plays.
In a system that, you know, with a coach who just doesn't really buy into the whole rookie.
Wants to hold him back, it seems like.
I mean, he makes one mistake and he's done. I mean, Chris Johnson has been outstanding for that team. I mean, they feed him the ball. I mean, I think he had 31 carries in the last game before the bye. I mean, and Andre Ellington is definitely a change of pace guy. I mean, I guess you can storm it if you're a deep roster, but if your rosters aren't deep, I mean, it's time to give up.
I agree. He's probably at best a stash and hope option, but I think he's one of the better ones, you know, just because of his upside and because of the offense. But right now he's struggling to get on the field. Jay Ajayi is a guy who got activated last week, but I know some people will be talking about, you know, behind, you know, Lamar Miller, we got Damian Williams and Jonas Gray who got released. So really it's just Damian Williams. What do you think about Ajayi? Does he have any, you know, this is a guy who got, you know, some pub in the offseason and the preseason. Has been injured.
Another guy is healthy now. I mean, he's a guy that you have to add. I mean, we always say speculation. Sometimes speculation could lead into, you know, monster rewards. I mean, he's a Lamar injury away from, you know, being a top 15 back every week. I mean, clearly,
and Lamar Miller really starting to turn it on and show he can be a, you know, a big time fantasy threat with his ability to catch the football and make big plays.
Absolutely.
I agree. Ajayi is a guy to keep your eye on, you know, as far as a speculation pick. You know, a lot of these guys going further down the line are probably worth owning, you know, but probably don't have a ton of upside. Chris Thompson, we talked about. I definitely think he's worth owning. Orleans Darkwell, you think he's worth owning?
No, absolutely not.
Of course, the 49ers, just abysmal. Tough to even talk about them. But, of course, they bring on Pierre Thomas, give him the ball
and
a little bit.
And they cut him today.
Yeah, exactly. Cut him. So is Sean Drone the guy?
I mean,
Travis Cadet they signed.
Sean Drone's the guy you're going to have to add. I mean, but realistically, you're going to be getting a lot of dreck out of that backfield. I mean, Blaine Gabbert, if you're the Atlanta Falcons, you should have to walk home from San Francisco. I mean, you lost the football game to Blaine Gabbert. I mean, it's just a colossal embarrassment.
I like that, walking home. Any other running backs even worth adding? I mean, there's a lot of guys who I think have some, you know, who are probably on the heap that I think have some potential with an injury or something, like a Darren Sproles, a Chris Polk, an Ahmad Bradshaw, kind of just, you know, snash and hope options at best, don't you think? Christine Michael.
Yeah, I mean, Donald Brown's another name that, I mean, he finally got on the field this week. I mean, I watched him a couple carries. I mean, he looked, I think he had a 10-yard run, you know, a 5-yard
mm-hmm.
run. I mean, he's a Melvin Gordon, you know, fumble away from being, you know, a very, very good option on that team. I mean, that's a team.
There you go, because Woodhead can't do it all. You know, he is a, you know, specialist type of player.
Team.
Yep. I like that call. Anybody else worth stashing? Buck Allen, Trey Mason, you know, with Gurley. You know, they don't want to give Gurley 50 carries a game, apparently. So let's move on to some receivers here. Damn, time's flying here. I got to move on. Stevie Johnson, of course, obvious choice. Shouldn't be available anywhere. Dorial Green-Beckman's a guy who should be available in a lot of places, who really finally popped. And with the, you know, the ending of the Ken Wisenhunt reign, we might see interim coach Mike Mularkey really insert him more. And you already saw that last week. 10 targets, 5 for 77. Kendall Wright banged up. What do you think?
Yeah, we mentioned Green Beckham last week. Definitely a guy that, you know, should have been added last week. Hopefully you can get him this week. He's definitely one of the popular receivers on the waiver wire this week. Must
yeah, anywhere he got through, he should be scooped up this week, and this probably should be the week where he's not available anywhere anymore. Marvin Jones is a guy we chatted about. Probably shouldn't be available. Solid guy. Devontae Adams, we talked about last week, you know, finally gets back in there and does something. Not exactly setting the world on fire, but, you know, James Jones starting to slow a bit. Packers really need to get some playmakers in there. Davante Adams could be that spark. Definitely still I'm holding out hope that he can have a decent stretch run here. Michael Floyd's a guy we talked about. Definitely lots of upside. Kamar Aiken certainly shouldn't probably be available anywhere with the Steve Smith injury, as we suspected he would be the number one target guy. I think he was last week.
Chris Kittens, Marlon Brown are two guys you got to speculate, I mean, in Baltimore.
Let's see. Reuben Randall, probably not available on the spot, still has some value. Nate Washington, we talked a little bit about, probably losing a little bit of value with Shorts coming back. Even Shorts has some value, I think, to be added in deeper wide receiver leagues. Devin Funchess, you know, finally starting. You think he's worth rostering?
He's definitely one of the guys up at this week. I mean, Cam Newton got to throw the ball to somebody.
Added to the list of stash and hope.
Definitely a stash and hope guy.
Along with your boy Nelson Aguilar, can I keep him on that
list?
I like
Nelson Aguilar, too. I mean, somebody's got to catch the ball in Philly. I mean, they literally have Jordan Matthews.
Hey, Cole Beasley really popped last week. What do you think about him?
Where's he been all season?
I know. Where was that from, right?
I mean, he looked great in the slot. I mean, I don't understand like how they don't – this is the first week they seed it. I mean, I didn't even know he was still on the team.
Oh, God. I mean, really tough to predict his production. But, again, when Romo comes back, I suspect him to be a little bit more predictable. Moving on to the tight end, so I think he's worth an add. Moving on to the tight ends, guys who probably shouldn't be available, Eric Ebron, Jacob Tammy continues to really light the world on fire from a decent standpoint with Hankerson out. I do suspect Hankerson to come in, so that may start to tail off a little bit, don't you think, or no?
Yeah, I mean, don't sleep on Justin Hardy, too. I know I mentioned him a couple weeks ago. I mean, he started to play more snaps, and I think
who's that? Justin Hunter?
Justin Hardy.
Oh, Hardy. I'm sorry. Yep. Okay.
Yeah, rookie at East Carolina. I mean, he's definitely starting to get on the field a little bit more. Roddy is done, and Leonard Hankerson is kind of disappointed the last couple weeks.
Well, he's been out with that hamstring injury. I suspect when he comes back that he'll still be a pretty major call. Honestly, I feel like they're really missing him right now, honestly. I feel like they're missing Leonard Hankerson a lot.
They need somebody who's outside of Freeman and Julio Jones. They have nothing on offense. I mean,
agreed.
Really,
and Tammy's just kind of a turn it around. He's not really a playmaker. He's just kind of a post-up guy. So, you know, he's getting a lot of volume. Zach Ertz, you know, always close to having a big game, just never quite does it, but always kind of on the cusp, and a guy I like as my backup, and, you know, I feel confident, or not confident, but, you know, okay with starting him on any given Sunday. Colby Fleener is a guy I talked about, I think has some upside with, particularly with Luck being out a little bit. I think Hasselbeck likes him. I think I like what I've seen from their connection. You know, Fleener has some potential to put up big games with Hasselbeck at the helm, even more so than Luck, I think. ASJ is a guy I've been waiting on forever. I don't know if he's ever going to get back, but I think when he does, particularly if Ajax is still sitting, he's going to have some substantial value. Richard Rodgers, again, flashes. I think he's worth a shot. Heath Miller, I think, has lots of good value moving forward with Big Ben. You know, when Big Ben starts the game, so maybe not this week, but, you know, 12 and forward. Crockett Gilmore, a steady, particularly with Steve Smith out, I would think. Owen Daniels flashes, even with Vernon Davis playing. What did you think about that? That surprised me.
100% surprising. I mean, we said last week Vernon Davis would have been a good add. I don't understand. I mean, the guy, I watched the game briefly and saw Peyton Manning pretty much hit him in stride going down the sideline, and he barely put his arms out to get the ball and made barely an attempt to get the ball. I've always hated Vernon Davis, and I really think he's just – not going to do much in Denver after watching that game. I know people said they just started with him and everything, but for all the talent he has, he just doesn't seem to get it upstairs.
Yeah, it didn't seem like he was anywhere near being productive. So I guess you got to stay tuned to that position and own both Owens and Vernon if possible. One of them should be productive, but probably not both. And I don't know. I still think it's probably going to be Vernon, but like you said, kind of throws a monkey wrench in it. So we'll see what we see in week 10 here. Hey, I think we got to leave it there, man. Great show. Best of luck, everybody, in week 10. Please check out bfdfantasyfootball.com and join up with our partners over at over at DraftKings and save 50% for the year. I'm not afraid. Yeah.
been a ride. I guess I had to go to that place to get to this one. Now some of you might still be in that place if you're trying to get out. Just follow me. I'll get you there. You can try and read my lyrics off of this paper before I lay them, but you won't take the sting out these words before I say them. Cause ain't no way I'm gonna let you stop me from causing mayhem. What I say, I'm gonna do something, I do it. I don't give a damn what you think. I'm doing this for me.
Get over to BFDFantasyFootball.com and subscribe now. You're missing a ton of great advice there, including free agents, player rankings, and more of the opinions you love on the players. BFDFantasyFootball.com.